And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
News from our partner Lutheran Church in the USA, where the Reverend Dr. Matthew Harrison was installed with his second term as the 13th president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod with the words, "Read and take God's word to heart at all times, calling upon him to uphold you in the ministry which is committed to you." In a two-hour service of installation on Saturday, September the 14th, in the Chapel of St. Timothy and St. Titus, on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, Harrison, six vice presidents, the Synod Secretary, and members of the LCMS Board of Directors, and nine other boards and commissions, promised to carry out their duties with the help of God. The installation service with Holy Communion included the pageantry of dozens of Red Stole pastors and district presidents who took part in the entrance procession, along with the leaders of Lutheran partner churches in Brazil, Canada, Japan, Latvia, Lithuania, Nigeria, and Siberia, as the congregation sang the processional hymn, "Thy Strong Word," accompanied by an organist and brass quintet. "It was very good for us to be here and to join your joy," Bishop Litkin of the Siberian Evangelical Lutheran Church said after the service. In his sermon based on 1 Corinthians 1:22-25, the Reverend Dr. Robert Bugby, President of Lutheran Church Canada, called it a blessing that the installation service was on Holy Cross Day, since Christ crucified is the heart of our life and work, even though preaching about Jesus rubs an awful lot of people the wrong way in today's society. Bugby cautioned church workers not to get caught up in aiming God's word at just about everybody but themselves. Calling it a blunt reality, he said, "No matter what kind of high post you've got in the church, and no matter how much influence you might wield, and no matter how many other people look up to you, you're a lost and hopeless sinner without this rescuer, Christ crucified, who brings you back to God again." In Rome, the Vatican department in charge of paying salaries and managing real estate acted improperly as a parallel bank, providing accounts to outsiders. An arrested prelate who worked there for 22 years has told Italian prosecutors. The latest allegations of misdoings come as Pope Francis struggles to tackle years of financial scandals involving the Vatican Bank, which has long been in the spotlight for failing to meet international standards against tax evasion and the disguising of illegal sources of income. The allegations concerning the administration of the patrimony of the Apostolic See, known as APSA, will present another headache for the Pope, who has appointed two commissions to advise him on how to clean up Vatican finances. A key suspect in a widening investigation by Italian magistrates looking into alleged money laundering through the Vatican Bank told them that officials at APSA allowed the office to be used by outsiders even though it was against its regulations, according to a transcript of his questioning. The prelate, Monsignor Nunzio Scarano, 61, is under investigation by magistrates in his home city of Salerno, where he is suspected of using his close ties with the Vatican Bank to launder money. He is under arrest in a hospital in Salerno. Scarano's lawyers said he did not launder money. Scarano was arrested in Rome on June the 28th, along with an Italian secret service agent and a financial broker, in a separate investigation concerning an alleged plot to smuggle 20 million euros into Italy from Switzerland. Under questioning by Rome magistrates in July, Scarano said some officials at APSA, whose purpose is to pay Vatican salaries, fund its departments and manage its real estate, allowed the department to be used improperly by outsiders. "As APSA, we are not allowed to have outside clients, but despite this, in reality, we acted as a bank," Scarano told the magistrates, according to the transcript of the questioning obtained by Reuters news agency. "We took in money, used it, and paid out interest to depositors," he said. The Vatican spokesman, Father Federico Lombardi, said he had no comment on Scarano's questioning. A German Catholic bishop accused by critics of being an autocrat and lavish spender has agreed to let an outside commission audit his finances after a rare week-long visit by a Vatican monitor. Bishop Franz Peter Tebartz van Elst, whose costly new residence is out of step with Pope Francis's stress on simplicity and poverty, apologized for any carelessness or misjudgment on my part. Tebartz van Elst and Cardinal Giovanni Lajolo, a Vatican diplomat examining the diocese that includes Germany's financial capital Frankfurt, celebrated Mass together on Sunday before the Italian prelate was to return to Rome and report to the Pope. in his sermon after the Gospel, which told the parable of the prodigal son, forgiven by his father for squandering his fortune, Lajolo stressed the Vatican's concern to find a consensus in the deeply divided diocese. The final report of the commission, which will examine and include all costs, finances and procedures involved, will be disclosed publicly, Tebas van Elst pledged in a joint statement with his cathedral chapter of advisers. The bishop has disputed criticism of his management and pledged last month to explain the cost of the residence. Lajolo's visit marked a new Vatican willingness to correct mismanagement by bishops, who Francis had said should not be careerists but shepherds with the smell of their sheep. Mismanagement by bishops and the Vatican's slow response were at the root of sexual abuse scandals that have rocked the Roman Catholic Church around the world for more than a decade. There are no sexual abuse allegations in this case. In Los Angeles, the lead singer in a heavy metal Christian rock band has been ordered by a California judge on Monday to stand trial for allegedly attempting to hire an undercover sheriff's deputy to kill his estranged wife. Tim Lambesis, the 32-year-old lead singer in a band As I Lay Dying, will stand trial in San Diego County Superior Court in Vista, California, and faces up to 9 years in prison if convicted. He was arrested in May in Oceanside, north of San Diego, and charged with a count of soliciting the murder of his wife, Megan Lambesis, who had filed for divorce a year earlier. They had been married for 8 years. Lambesis has pleaded not guilty. His attorney has said that his client was set up and has never harmed his wife in the past. Prosecutors allege Lambesis' aunt asked an undercover sheriff's deputy posing as a man named Red to kill his estranged wife. The singer is accused of giving the man an envelope containing $1,000 in cash, photos of his wife, her address, and codes to a home security system. He also allegedly gave the deputy a list of dates to carry out the murder when he would have had their three adopted children with him. Prosecutors have said that Lambesis intended to use being with their children as his alibi. Lambesis is also alleged to have initially asked a gym acquaintance to help him find someone to kill his wife, but the acquaintance arranged for the singer to meet the undercover sheriff's deputy instead. And finally, South Korea has approved plans to build a 1,476-foot tower that can be turned virtually invisible. Tower Infinity will be equipped with an LED projector and a camera system that can throw up images that cloak the building. The building will be located near Incheon International Airport near Seoul, officials said. My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
This is Lutheran Radio UK, the radio station of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.